Welcome to Aspiro Life for May 1st, 2011. The intention with Aspiro Life is to share with you the latest and most up-to-date insights of the changes taking place in our planet. We invite your feedback and comments as to what could assist you as we move towards this collective awakening on our planet. If gaining deeper insights into your life is something you value, I would be happy to assist you. My practice focuses on people understanding themselves and those around them at a much deeper level. Through numerology and astrology, we examine the patterns, conditions, and people at play in your life to help you understand your divine path and fully embrace the changes taking place in you and around you. My website is www.aspirolifestyle.ca for more information. On with our show. Today I'm delighted to welcome back Jana Shiloh, practicing homeopath. Jana's work is helping people to self-empower their physical, mental, and emotional bodies, practicing homeopathy and her new modality, heart fusion, which is one step beyond Dr. Emoto's wonderful work. She is the author of Heart Fusion, The Magic of Imprinting Water. And Jana, welcome back to Aspiro Life.
Well, thank you. I'm really happy to be back with you.
Today we're going to talk about all the changes that you and I have just discussed, the upheaval, the earth changes that are happening, and how we can better prepare ourselves and deal with some of these changes. Whether we're talking about Fukushima and the radiation, which is a concern a lot of people have right now, whether we're talking about the residual effects from the Gulf of Mexico, or the earth changes happening that just we heard about this morning in the news in Alabama with the tornadoes. There's so much taking place on the planet that is really bombarding our mental, physical, and emotional bodies. And I would like you to touch base a little bit. We're going to start with probably radiation because that's one of the biggest things that are going on right now. How we can work with some of this energy and how we can build, you know, do the work that you're talking about in your book, Heart Fusion, The Magic of Imprinting Water, and create a remedy to help us with some of these environmental changes that are really, you know, creating a lot of havoc around us and most likely within us.
Yeah, actually, you know, as above, so below, as they say, we're all going through changes, and the earth certainly is too. I'd like to speak just a little bit about some of the physical kind of material things we can do to help kind of build our immune system and protect us from the possibilities of radiation. We have heard that milk has been contaminated, water has been contaminated, even in our country as far as Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a man on YouTube who was showing the increase in radiation coming down in the rain in Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
So these are all things that we really need to address. And actually, in speaking with some of these scientists, some of them were saying, well, you know, we've been exposed to a lot more than people know through all the bomb tests that have been done,
right,
both in the southern hemisphere and the northern hemisphere. And so there's some basic things that I think we can all incorporate into our diet and our lifestyles that would help, and I'd like to share a few of those for those who haven't been reading on the internet, you know, some of these things to do.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is to do a salt and baking soda bath. And I think that once a week, that would be a really good thing for people to do. And if you're outside for long periods of time, and especially if there's rain, it's a good thing to do at the end of the day. And what they're recommending is a pound of salt and a pound of baking soda,
mm-hmm,
to be used in a bathtub and to soak for 20 minutes and even put your head in, because your hair, everything has been exposed to the possibilities of radiation.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that's very helpful is something called zeolite,
right,
and clay. Mm-hmm. And those can be both used in the bathtub and also internally.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of companies that are selling that now. There's a whole issue with iodine. And the bottom line is basically you want to keep your thyroid filled with good iodine so that if there's an exposure to the iodine 131, which would automatically go into the thyroid, you wouldn't be absorbing it. You would be, your thyroid would already be filled with good iodine. The important thing with the iodine is to have it going, even whether we think we need it or not at the moment,
mm-hmm.
because it doesn't help so much after, you know, after you've had the exposure. So with Chernobyl and everything, they really didn't have time to get it to everybody. You know, it was such a sudden explosion. So the authorities are saying if you have a direct exposure, you should use as much as 130 milligrams of potassium iodide to start with, and then after that, I think it's just good to keep it topped off. You can't take that amount on a regular basis, and I really want to encourage everybody to do a little muscle testing because some people are allergic to iodine, and that amount could create serious side effects. So we've got both sides of the coin here. But if we're eating seaweed, and right now we have to start looking at eating our sea vegetables and seafood from the Atlantic Ocean, not from the Pacific,
mm-hmm.
We really would be, you know, would be partly protected, but additional iodine is important, and up to 12.5 milligrams a day.
One of the things too that I mean, there's chlorella as well, and another thing that I've suggested to people is selenium, which we can get from Brazil nuts, 4 to 6 Brazil nuts daily, and ashwagandha too. I've investigated into that because it does well with coping with thyroid stress. But I think you're right. I mean, these are what we can do to really shore ourselves up. One of the things I just want you to touch on, because this is whenever I suggest anything to do with the thyroid, the first thing that people will say to me is, well, what about hyperthyroidism? And so when we're talking about, you know, taking iodine and things like that, which I firmly believe in myself, and it's even been suggested to me that, you know, you take 13 to 15 milligrams daily, which is about 100 times the RDA, but at this stage in small doses we can do that. But what would you recommend, or for how long would you recommend people do, a protocol like this?
Well, you know, that's a difficult question to answer because what's coming off of the reactors in Japan, well, they've already upgraded it to the level of Chernobyl, but there are people who are saying it's much worse than that because
mm-hmm.
there's more than one reactor
mm-hmm.
and that we're not being told the truth about
right.
everything, and that's the tricky thing. Iodine 131 has a half-life of 8 days, which means right after 8 days only half of it is left. So that's seems like it's not quite as problematic. However, we're really looking at a long-term exposure right now. We don't know when or if this is going to end. I mean, this could be a turning corner for us.
The human species.
For the human species. So I'm thinking, I mean, I'm taking it every day, and I'm thinking I'm going to keep taking it every day. And,
right.
you know, just keep watching the news. The other isotopes that are of concern, obviously, are cesium-137
mm-hmm.
and uranium, which has a ridiculously long half-life. I mean, we're talking about 700 million years
mm-hmm.
for uranium-234 or mm-hmm. 235. 238 is billions of years.
Right.
So, we just need to keep our immune system strong. We need to take a lot of antioxidants.
Mm-hmm.
They're suggesting not to eat green leafy vegetables, but, you know, I was listening to a doctor speaking about how the flavonoids in green leafy vegetables actually help protect against radiation. So,
right.
So we really need to wash our vegetables and fruits very well. because if there are particles on them, we want to get them off. And I've even started soaking my vegetables in some salt and baking soda also. So that's another piece of it. We know that black and green tea are also helpful. Keeping our body full of minerals is helpful because some of these isotopes follow the path of the minerals. And if, again, if you have good minerals in your system, they will not be so attracted to your bones, for example, as strontium 90.
Which is important these days because so many people on the planet are mineral deficient because of the soil and just their diets that, you know, really, I mean, that's something that we need to seriously look at is increasing mineral, even if we're taking it from either whole food extracts or we're taking it, you know, in tincture form or whatever the case is or in kelp and so on like we were discussing. I mean, I think that's important for everybody because I think as the environment, we're contending with a more toxic environment. It's becoming increasingly important that we pay attention to this, and maybe that's what, you know, Mother Nature is intending, that we have these situations. So it really kind of brings us back to basics. But can we talk a little bit when we're discussing this, too, about what you would recommend, because you and I talked a little earlier about creating a tincture for ourselves, and maybe this is not when you want to discuss this, but creating a tincture for ourselves with rainwater and things like this.
Right, and this, I think this is really important, and it goes back to the reason why I wrote my book, which is called Heart Fusion, The Magic of Imprinting Water, because people need to know that they can make remedies from anything. Okay, and it's really important. In the book, I talk a lot about emotional imprinting. But we can also do certain things for ourselves here, make remedies from rainwater, and I can briefly go over a method of doing that, which would help us with what's happening in the environment. What I would suggest is to put out a bowl of water in a glass bowl, preferably, or porcelain, you know, something like that, not metal, and put that outside and let it sit outside for 24 hours. If it's raining, that's fine. You don't need a lot of rainwater in there. A few drops even would be enough. And then you take that water, and this is one way that we make homeopathic remedies. You put it in a jar that would be a clean jar, one that doesn't smell of pickles or anything, or use a brand new dropper bottle as another option. You put that water in there, always leaving an air bubble because we're going to shake it, and it's very important. The shaking, we call it succussion, this process is critical in making the remedy. And so you would put it in, and you would hold the jar in one hand and you would pound it either on the floor, you know, on a carpet, or against your hand, or on a counter where you have a towel put there just for the sake of your hand. And you would pound it very hard 20 times. And then you empty the whole jar, leaving only a little bit on the bottom. And again, it's good to use glass because for a number of reasons, and one of them is it's actually easier to do this process with glass. If you use plastic, everything, when you tip everything out, everything falls out. With glass, when you tip it out, there's always a little bit left, even if you turned it upside down quickly. And so you want to then put more regular water and, well, not just regular, but something like reverse osmosis or something without chlorine and fluoride and all those things. You want to put more water in there, and you want to shake it again really hard and empty it. Put more water in, shake it again really hard, and empty it, always just leaving a little bit on the bottom of the container that you're using. Each process of filling it, shaking it, and emptying it, you count as one, two, three. Each one is a cycle. You want to do this 12 cycles.
Right.
And then at the end, and it's going to feel like a very well-washed bottle, I have to say, even when I make remedies myself. It's hard to believe that anything is really happening in there, but I ask everybody to trust it. And then you can take that, a teaspoon of the water, just in your mouth because the energy is absorbed under the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
You can take that probably two times a day at a time when you have concern. You can also keep going and take it to a 30. Do it 30 times. That would be the equivalent, somewhere in the vicinity of the equivalent of a 30C, which is what you would get at the health food store if you bought a basic remedy like Arnica.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can also take that. Now, that's one thing that you can do, in an emergency, in a crisis. If it gets to a point where your supplements are running low and you're not sure about, you can't get more because of some natural disaster, you can always make a remedy from anything. And in the case of the supplements, I would say probably just doing it six times would be enough because something would be left of the original substance. So I tell people, never use your last few capsules, if you have something that's really precious for you and you think you won't be able to get it again.
Can we just talk a little bit about that process? So if you have a couple of capsules left of a particular supplement or formula, how would you go about doing that?
Well, when it comes to a formula, it's a little trickier because you've got a few things and you're potentizing them all together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really clear whether they would maintain the integrity of each substance. But if, let's say, you have vitamin A,
right.
That's actually an oil base. You'd have to put it in a little vodka to start with. Mm-hmm. But if you had a water-soluble vitamin,
like
a B or a C,
mm-hmm.
something like that, you could actually put a little bit in water and just let it sit overnight, let it soak in, dissolve.
Mm-hmm.
And after it's dissolved, at that point, you can just start that process, add water, shake it and dilute it, and fill it up more, shake it and dilute it, do that process. And it's actually the energetic of these supplements that really benefit us the most. So you can make this remedy and take it. You can do that I actually have a mineral combination remedy that was made in Australia from a certain mineral-rich source. And that's been actually proved to be helpful with dysplasia in dogs, for example,
mm-hmm.
when they have hip dysplasia.
Mm-hmm.
Any problem with the bones has been shown to be helpful. So in that case, I know that has worked, that combination. I don't know about a combination of many different vitamins, how effective that would be. But I think it's important to know that you can do this, and in many cases, it will work as the original substance.
And so just to clarify a couple of things, when we're talking about water-soluble vitamins, then we can use water. But when we're talking about oil, like a vitamin E, for example,
mm-hmm.
That's when we have to use alcohol?
We have to start with alcohol because water won't,
right.
Oil and our water don't mix. So
right.
You won't
that's
be able
right.
to get a good dilution. So
mm-hmm.
if you put a little vodka in, and you can, if you don't drink vodka, you can just buy one of those 1 ounce bottles,
mm-hmm.
if you get airplanes,
mm-hmm.
and mix it with that and let it just sit overnight if possible. And that will actually dissolve, the oil. And then you can use water after that in the shaking and dilution process.
You know what's coming to me right now, I find this fascinating. 20, 25 years ago when we all started on the vitamin path and we all started, swallowing handfuls of supplements, and then we realized that we do a whole lot better with the whole food. you know, and now we're trying to get back to eating as much whole foods as we can. But this is almost the next level of healing to me, or at least that's what I'm feeling. It's because it's energetic. So, again, it's taking away from, it's just using the element and the energy of something, which is really, I think, what we're kind of evolving into. So can you comment on that a little bit?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I know a man who worked for the government for 40 years on very interesting projects, and he had a lot of experience and did a lot of research into energy work.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of come over to the other side now, but anyway.
Don't they all after
all? Really? But what he has said, and I'm just quoting him because this is not coming from my firsthand experience, totally, is that you eat an apple, he said, you know, the material part of the apple passes through your body and passes out. What your body actually uses is the energetic part of the apple.
Right.
And so that was very interesting to me. You know, it's, I don't know if I could live on homeopathic apple. Certainly wouldn't be as satisfying, that's for sure. But
not from our 3D reality where
right.
we are right now, but, you know, I guess with all of us, we don't know where we're going or what
exactly.
it's going to look like. So. And, you know, another thing that I want to talk a little bit about or have you touch on is homeopathy, because I have a lot of European connections. And this winter in particular, there's been so many changes with the way homeopaths are viewed in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you have colleagues over there and you get information about what's going on. So can we talk a little bit about that too? Because we have listeners from all over the world, and I know that, you know, there's a lot of confusion as to what all these changes, you know, in this Codex Alimentarius, for example,
yes.
what they're talking about.
Well, you know, this is a whole question of big pharma coming in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you take a country like England, where homeopathy has been like it's been the bastion of homeopathy. The royal family has been treated by a homeopath. That's their main doctor
mm-hmm.
since Queen Victoria.
Right.
So it's been accepted. It's been allowed to be used instead of Western medicine in their health, you know, for their health service,
mm-hmm.
for their socialized medicine. And suddenly there was this huge attack on homeopathy because, I hate to say it, but because it really works.
Right.
And you can't patent homeopathic medicines, you know, like I've just told people how they can make their own. You can go out and you can pick chamomile from, you know, from the fields, bring it back, make a tincture out of it or make a tea out of it and turn it into a remedy and have it without having to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, you know, we have 3,500 remedies, so you're not going to be doing that with everything. but the fact is that you can make a remedy from many things, and the lower the potency, meaning, you know, shaking and diluting it less, the closer it is to the original substance and the more it works like the original substance. I do want to interject that. But so there was this huge attack on homeopathy on the heels of an interesting experiment, and we mentioned it in the January 1st interview about leptospirosis, which is a serious illness that they have around the world and in Cuba. And Cuba did this experiment. Instead of using regular vaccines or nothing, where their usual rates were 2,000 to 3,000 people a year would get leptospirosis, and out of that some of them would die.
Mm-hmm.
They gave homeopathic leptospirosis to the entire population of 2.5 million people.
Right.
And they gave everybody two doses. And at the end of the season for leptospirosis, there were only 10 cases reported.
Mm-hmm.
And this happened 2 years in a row. And this information was on the Internet. You can still find it, I think, on Huffington Post, but it was taken off the Internet and other sites.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a major threat, you know, to people making vaccines.
With no side effects.
With no side effects, exactly. No mercury, no
mm-hmm.
formaldehyde. So this is something that people need to know about, because the process I just told you about making a remedy, you can make it from, let's say there's a flu going around and somebody in your family gets the flu or the plague. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter.
Right.
You can take a little bit of their saliva or whatever, you know, you feel is carrying that virus or bacteria, and you can make a remedy from it just mm-hmm. by putting it in water and shaking it and diluting it.
Amazing. I mean, the things that we can do for our bodies are really the most simplest things. And, you know, we're supposed to be able to heal ourselves.
Right.
The idea in the last 100 years that we need a whole lot of medication in order to really be healthy is so, you know, way out there. I mean, I can see in the next few years how it's just that the whole traditional medical system is going to be struggling to hold on to that paradigm. And that's one of the things in your book. I mean, people can go to your book and look up different, scenarios for themselves, what they've got going on. And you've got step-by-step instructions as to how they can create a remedy for themselves. And this is one of the things I was saying in the January 1st interview of why, you know, I felt so strongly about your book, because it's so important that people have this in their wellness chest, I'll call it, for themselves mm-hmm. and for their families. Because, you know, if things get to the point, as they have talked about, whether they will or not, and this isn't about, you know, raising fear or alarms, this is just about being well prepared. As the woman years ago that I learned astrology from, she said, you know, these are just weather patterns, and it helps to know what to wear when the weather's coming. So this is a similar kind of situation, and it's important to have it, because it's not having you rely on the outside world. It's something that you can then look after yourself and look after your family and take care and go through situations with more ease and grace. So your book, you know, is invaluable in my mind around that. And, you know, some of the situations, and maybe we can talk a little bit about this too, you know, just the environmental situations. You talked a little bit about the rain. Are there any other whether it would be, you had mentioned earlier to me air or earth or any of those elements that we can capture?
Mm-hmm. Well, we can capture anything,
mm-hmm.
actually. I think that, you know, as long as we have water and a container, we can capture anything. The question is what and when.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we have been warned. There are some people like Helen Caldicott and the other people who are saying be careful when the rain comes down, because if there's a cloud carrying, you know, holding radiation, then it's going to rain on us. So I think, you know, we can really have to use our intuition and be aware
mm-hmm.
and then be able to proceed with making these remedies if that's the indication. The other thing is, and I have some remedies that I put together that cover, you know, that actually come from cesium radiation. I do know somebody who's a nuclear tech, and they use cesium-137 to calibrate their devices. And he was able to put water in front of that cesium-137 for 5 hours.
Wow.
And we captured that frequency and made a remedy of it. And so if people are interested in that, they can contact me too. We have homeopathic plutonium, all of these other substances.
And while you're saying that, Janet, can you just give your contact information? Because I think it's important that people know how to get a hold of you.
Sure. My phone number is 928-2 or 888, you can use that number, 282-9362. And my website is www.healthrays.com. And as usual, that's always under improvement. You can either go to my website or you can call me and order the book directly. And people who do call me or order directly from me will get a little discount and also some pellets from that they can put into water and use from the white buffalo essence that I've made, which is quite powerful, and it comes from the fur of the white buffalo.
And I've used that, and it's wonderful when you're doing meditation or just when I'm hyper and my kids are running around and I'm saying to myself, okay, breathe, and give yourself a little spritz.
Right.
It really helps calm down.
You can make your own spray. I do also sell the different essences, and that's one of them. I just found out that I couldn't send the book and the essences together in any kind of package that worked. So I'm including some granules that you can inoculate water with.
Very
your end. But if people do want the bottles, I have them available. And that is leading me into another piece of what I go into in the book that I want to share a little about,
mm-hmm.
which is that we can, you know, make remedies actually from different emotional states and also, you know, not just from the freak-out states, let's say,
right.
or our core issues, but also from our meditations and the times that we reach, you know, our peak experiences, that also can be turned into a homeopathic remedy. And that works to remind the whole energetic matrix, I call it in the book, the whole body-mind, a spiritual system of a frequency that we have visited, that we have mm-hmm. experienced, and that we want to get back to maybe more immediately, more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and would we do that when we come out of a meditation?
We would do it during a meditation.
Okay.
And that whole process is actually explained in the book. And I've actually made a number of essences from very profound meditations I've had, both myself and with friends, you know, meditating two or more gathered.
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so those are also available, and they're going to be going up on the website. But if anybody's interested, they can also email me at info@healthraise.com, and I can send them a list of what I have, which includes the white buffalo, which I actually use something of the original substance from. But also, so I'm very connected with Babaji, and so some of frequencies that Babaji has brought through, and Lakshmi, and then some of the heart fusion ones that I've made with friends, and some on issues around abandonment and separation from source, and funkiness and tight funk.
Well, there's a lot of funkiness going around
right.
these days.
And fear and insecurity, relaxation. So those are available in a kind of a generic way.
Mm-hmm.
But people can, I think it's even more effective to make your own if you're so inclined.
Well, because then you get to personalize it, which is what's outlined in your book, and that's why I found it so helpful. Because, you know, one of the things with any remedy or herb, surely anybody can use it, but when you can personalize it for yourself, it really seems to, I mean, that experience I had with you, and I've used it since, it's been really helpful, especially at the emotional level when you're trying to get over certain situations or work through them. And now what I find is, and I'm sure you can speak about this too with your clients, is that, you know, we are experiencing so many emotional triggers lately. I mean, you know, everything is being brought up these days for us to clear, and in such a way, sometimes it's just so intense, and you're thinking to yourself, jeepers, didn't I? I thought I've dealt with this, and
right.
here it comes again, and it seems to be coming with more fortitude this time, you know, and there's a lot of people going through things that they've kind of pushed down for so many years, and now, you know, these emotions and situations are so in their face, they just can't ignore them anymore. So that whole emotional component is really helpful with all of this. Do you want to touch on that just a little bit?
Yeah, I think we have a huge opportunity now
mm-hmm.
To really get into some very deep places and clear them. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, I'm excited about this whole process of being able to make remedies from these emotions, because it really clears the, it goes beyond the story, you know?
Right, right.
It clears the underlying energetic that's mm-hmm. holding the attraction to the story,
mm-hmm.
I'll put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole process of homeopathy. It's a process of light curing light, of reflecting back to the energetic matrix how it's off balance, and encouraging it to find a new pathway and self-regulate.
Brilliant.
So it's brilliant. It's so powerful. You know, there's something I want to share with you, something I was at a 3HO retreat at one point. I was invited to teach homeopathy there. And there is a man, I can't remember his name right now, but he was teaching a method which is something that I think is also could be employed now. It's very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
His method of healing was he would have somebody lie down, and he would have us, because we were all in this little workshop, sit next to them, you know, maybe at their head. And he would have us bring our hands closer to the person. And at a certain point, you could actually feel a shift as your energy interacted with their energy.
Right.
Okay. So instead of trying to change their energy, his method was, by this time, maybe you have your hands on their head or on their body, you work on changing the energy in your body.
Mm.
So you're kind of in a meditative state. You're feeling imbalance to one degree or another, hopefully to a bigger degree. As you approach them, you feel this shift in your body. There's this place, we call it the moment of shock. And suddenly you feel maybe a tension in your gut or a tightness in your neck or whatever shifts as you mm-hmm. touch this person.
Mm-hmm.
So you continue to touch them, and then you work on yourself. You let go of that tension. And because you've become one energetic field,
right,
it's going to affect the person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So then he did this experiment, and he passed out apples. They all looked like the same. They were all the same kind of apple. And we all took two apples. And he had us actually bringing our hands up towards the apple, and suddenly you would feel a shift in your body. That was where the apple and you had become different. Okay? The two differences. And then we'd hold the apple, and we would harmonize ourselves with the apple by just balancing our energies internally in a meditative way. We'd let go of the apple. Then we'd start approaching it again. Well, we did this until there was no change that we felt within our bodies before and after touching that apple. So at the end of this exercise, he asked us to take a bite of that apple, and we took a bite of it, and it tasted very good. It was very sweet and juicy. And then he asked us to take a bite of the other apple that we hadn't worked with.
Mm.
And it was totally different.
Right.
So, you know, when you think about how yogis have been able to neutralize, to be able to drink poison and survive,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, I think it's this kind of thing. And this is something that we can do with our food.
Well, I was just going to say that. It's very important that we do that over our food.
Yes.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
Especially now, you know, where they're saying, oh, the milk, oh, the green leafy vegetables, whatever. So, you know, taking this to another level now.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what happens, you know, when we do that? Or when we bless our food, we know that has an effect.
Mm-hmm.
Pouring love in. Maybe that will disarm some of these isotopes. I mean, mm-hmm. We have to go on that premise, because we are being pushed now beyond the physical into the energetic for our own survival.
That's right. And when you think about the bigger picture, you know, I'm sure there's other ways we could have done this, but really it is pushing us to understand things at a more deeply energetic level that most people have never even considered before. You know, and if that is what our next stage of evolution is, and we really have to, you know,
get in touch with that frequency and what's out there and around us. I mean, how else can we do it unless we are, you know, making that connection with food and with people the way that you've just described, which I haven't had that exact experience, but I've had one very similar to it, and I've done a lot of these food tests, and it's fascinating to me how you can really taste the difference between the two. But it's also what brings in the sweetness for life that so many people have lost, and the connection and the consciousness and the fact that we're all one, that, you know, that's what we're supposed to be evolving into. And it really helps to do that when we slow ourselves down a little bit and show reverence and gratitude for, you know, what's in front of us, regardless of what it is.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one more story I'd like to share with you, which, again, brings us into more of a place of hope,
mm-hmm.
from moving from the physical into the spiritual. I lived in an ashram for 6 years, and we did a lot of work with energy and meditation and learning how to pull in and absorb energies from the universe, different energies. And also, of course, send out energies to the planet. So there was one day when I needed to go to the dentist, and I got to the dentist, and he checked me out, and he said, well, I just need to take a couple x-rays. And it was a day when I was very, very conscious of feeling this energy pouring into my body. And so I thought, well, I don't want to be pulling in all these x-rays into my body.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to reverse the engine, as it were, and start just sending out energy, sending out love, sending out energy, so that I don't absorb too much of these x-rays. So he took the x-ray and came back a few minutes later, and he said, you know, this has never happened to me before, but your x-rays did not come out. So we had to do them again, and I had to stop doing anything and just let it happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But this is another point, you know, and it's funny, you know, how things happen in our lives that we remember them and they reverberate back, you know.
And when you're speaking about the dentist, too, I mean, there's another form of radiation. You know, it's not just what's going on with the nuclear power plant at Fukushima, but it's the fact that in so many ways we're being bombarded by this energy and frequency, even if it's in small, minute doses. So it's really important that at this point in time we pay attention to this now and really work with it to, you know, neutralize it, so to speak, or, you know, just you know, be aware that it's something that could be impacting us if there's certain health issues that are arising. And then really, I mean, I keep saying this, but then go back to your book and, you know, work with that energy a little bit and see what it produces for you.
Exactly, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been, you know, I thought, well, what if our whole life depended on being able to radiate love all the time.
Mm-hmm.
and it does, and it always has in a way, you know. But now it's becoming more immediate, and we're becoming more aware of the possible implications of all of these catastrophes, you know, that have been happening. And if we were all to become even more conscious, because that's the challenge. I mean, you know, to remember, how do we remember all the time? We all have to find little tricks for ourselves, but
that's right.
To remember every time, you know, we step out the door, every time we meet somebody, to be allow that love to flow through us, to
mm-hmm.
to them, to the environment. And given what Dr. Emoto has shown us, and we know there's water in the air, we wouldn't even be able to breathe. Everything we do, you know, really can affect our environment, our air, our water, our bodies, and the whole frequency on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
thank you, Madam, for sharing this with us today. It's been insightful as always. And, you know, it's really put a positive spin on things, because although these things are happening on the planet and we're aware that they're happening, and sometimes we feel a little helpless that they're happening, you know, you've given us some tools, and particularly in your book, where, you know, people can really empower themselves so that they don't feel like, you know, they have to just succumb to everything going on around them. They can really, you know, make a conscientious effort to work with and flow with what's going on around us. So can you please give everyone your contact information again, Jana?
All right. The website is HealthRays, R-A-Y-S, HealthRays.com. Email is info@healthrays.com, and my 800 number is 888-282-9362.
Very good. Thank you so much. And for all our listeners, you can check out my website and blog for up-to-date events and information about my conscious coaching practice. And for any of you practitioners, therapists, and healers interested in getting more quick and accurate information about clients and those around you, you can join me for any of my teleclasses. And for more details, you can check out my website, www.aspirolifestyle.ca. And until next time, keep your energy flowing. Namaste.